This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry down in Dallas, Texas, deep in the red state of Texas. And since I come from the blue state of New York, we thought it'd be interesting to take a look at this campaign through two filters that don't have the kind of obsessive sort of campaign intensity that you would find in, say, the state where I was a couple weeks ago, Ohio, swing state, or Florida, a swing state. We invited Josh Trevino, a conservative pundit, speechwriter for former President George W. Bush, to handicap this debate, to take a look at what happened last night, and also to look forward to what's going to happen between now and Election Day. Josh Trevino, right here in the studios of KERA Dallas. Josh, welcome to the program.
Hey, welcome to Texas.
And thanks so much. It's always great to be in Texas. And I'm not going to talk at all about the Giants and the Cowboys at all. Won't mention that at all in this segment. What did you think of that debate last night?
It was such an unpleasant watch, watching the two of them sort of try to out-alpha one another. I think you have to score it basically a draw. And, of course, we'll see what the net effect of the debate is on the election as the polls come out in the subsequent few days. But what was interesting to me was the CNN Instapoll. And keep in mind we're talking about an Instapoll for all that's worth last night that said that Obama won the debate. And I think the margin was something like 6 or 7 points. But when they divided it out by topic, economy, healthcare, et cetera, Romney won all the individual topics. So it seems like a mixed bag in terms of outcome.
But I can't believe you take much stock in any of those Instapolls at all on cable, Josh.
I take mild stock in it. I think you have to, like I said, I think you have to look at the long-term effect on what it does. And if this turns out to give the president momentum, which I don't think it will, but if it does, that's going to be much more meaningful than any night of reaction.
Since you're a conservative blogger, and I heard a lot of conservative reaction to the fact that Obama seemed to place his reference to the famous 47% remark of Mitt Romney there at the end where there was no possible rebuttal.
Indeed.
Let's remember, President Obama talking about that famous remark that Governor Romney made a few weeks back. Listen.
I believe Governor Romney is a good man. Loves his family, cares about his faith. But I also believe that when he said behind closed doors that 47% of the country consider themselves victims who refuse personal responsibility. Think about who he was talking about.
And then he made a list of classic Democratic constituents and probably some crossovers as well. Tactically, good move, unfair, nasty, continuing the nasty tone that you talked about?
Look, fair's got nothing to do with it. Tactically, I actually don't think it was well-placed. It should have come at the front. You know, when you look at the viewing audience for these things, it starts high and then it tapers off as time goes on. And my guess, I don't know if there's data on this or not, but my guess is that the audience substantively had dropped by the time the president got to his closing statement. I don't think that the deployment at the end was tactically smart for him.
You know, I think you're probably right on that, although it was sort of interesting. If you did watch the debate in its entirety, it did pack a little bit of a punch there. We're talking with Josh Trevino, conservative speechwriter for former President George W. Bush. What did you make of the discussion, the question that came up? And it probably would never have come up. I can't think of a presidential election where something like this would come up, where a person in the audience asked Romney to state declaratively how he was different from George W. Bush.
Yes. That was actually my favorite question of the night, this individual who stands up and says, I'm an undecided voter, but I hate George W. Bush and Republicans, which really captured kind of the tenor of this group of undecideds that Hofstra managed to gather together.
You can't be trash in Long Island.
Well, I think Long Island does a fine job of that itself. plus, I've flown out of Islip, so I have reason to dislike Long Island. Look, Romney actually missed an opportunity there, which was to give the answer. I'm different from George W. Bush in many ways, but I'm like him in one key respect, in that under me, unemployment will be back down to around 5%. And I think he whiffed it.
All right. There was in the polling suggests that a lot of people who follow this campaign are very interested in specifics from Mitt Romney on his tax program. And he tried to deliver them last night. Here he is really delivering a number that I thought was new. Up until now, I thought he was going to try to limit deductions to about 17,000. But I heard a new number in this soundbite. That's actually a little bit longer than a regular soundbite. But listen to Mitt Romney talking about his middle income tax program.
Middle income people are going to get a tax break. And so in terms of bringing down deductions, one way of doing that would be to say everybody gets, I'll pick a number, $25,000 of deductions and credits. And you can decide which ones to use. Your home mortgage interest deduction, charity, child tax credit, and so forth. You can use those as part of filling that bucket, if you will, of deductions.
Any clarity there, Josh Trevino?
Here's the reality of these numbers, whether they come from Mitt Romney or the president. The vast majority of voters don't remember them the next day, and the vast majority of voters don't vote on them to begin with. So it matters to people like, you know, you and me and academics and professional media. But, you know, Mitt Romney could have thrown out $1 million. He could have thrown out $25. And the net effect on the next day and on the campaign would have been exactly the same.
Does that mean the identity stays the same? Mitt Romney favors upper income. Barack Obama favors middle to lower income. That nothing happened in the debate last night to alter that impression?
I don't know that that is the identity at this point. I think, you know, Romney, especially since Denver, and I don't think last night did much to alter this trajectory, Romney is undergoing a perceptive shift in the public eye, and it still remains to be seen where he falls on that. But when he starts to win questions on who's going to do better on the economy and jobs, I think you have to say that he is at least in flux to a better place than where he's been.
All right. You said your favorite moment was the George Bush question. My favorite moment was this one, and it was all about pensions, and it had nothing to do with who I might favor. It just was a great, authentic moment. Listen.
Any investments I have over the last 8 years have been managed by a blind trust, and I understand they do include investments outside the United States, including in Chinese companies. Mr. President, have you looked at your pension? Have you looked at your pension?
I've got to say.
Mr. President, have you looked at your pension?
You know, I don't look at my pension. It's not as big as yours, so it doesn't
well,
take as
let
long.
Well, let me give you some advice.
I don't check it that often.
Let me give you some advice. Look at your pension. You also have investments in Chinese companies. Yeah. You also have investments outside the United States.
Yeah. Josh Trevino, quick sort of reaction to that before we go.
It is inevitable that anybody engaged in the stock market investments is going to have overseas investments. That's just how it is.
Both of these men of the people, Barack Obama and Indeed. Mitt Romney. Josh Trevino, conservative pundit and speechwriter for former President George W. Bush. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.